If it hasn't for you, my dear Moore, who walks so closely with our Lord, how can there be hope for the rest of us? Moore's voice was soft, sad.
Yeah, until it concerns your husband or your children. To not fret or be anxious takes more trust. God keeps giving me lessons in trusting him, and about the time I think I understand it, something new comes up.
She sighed.
Easy to do for myself and for all the others around me. But not when it comes to Håkon.
Astrid turned at the sound of a harness jingling. Surely it wasn't time for dinner already. She glanced at their carved walnut clock, the oak box on the wall with the mouthpiece in black and the receiver on the hook at the side, started its call to attention. One, two, three rings. The call for Tante Karin, over at the deaf school.
Answer that, will you?
Came from the front porch. Astrid stood and hustled to pick it up.
Yes? Oh, it's you, Astrid. This is for Karin. I know. She's just coming in the door. Please hold for a second.
She held the receiver out to her Tante Karin, whose once golden hair was silvering even more than Ingeborg's. When Karin took the receiver with a smile, Astrid headed for the shiny black cook stove with polished chrome trim and pulled the coffee pot closer to the heat. Lifting the front lid, she inserted a couple of sticks of firewood from the wood box, grateful that someone had refilled it since early morning. Adjusting the damper, she moved the coffee pot all the way to the hottest section.
The ginger cookies are in the cookie jar, and we have some cornbread left from last night that we can pour syrup over, if you want.
The creak of the rocking chair announced that Moore was on her way to the kitchen. Karin replaced the earpiece in its metal hook and turned to Astrid with a smile.
What a treat to find you here. I'm on my way to town and wondered if you want anything at the store.
She smiled at Moore, who was retying her apron as she came under the arch from the parlor to the kitchen.
Let me think. You will stay for coffee?
Yeah, especially since you said cornbread and syrup. I've not made cornbread lately.
No idea why.
She nodded to the telephone.
The last of the students just got on the train.
She heaved a sigh.
Another year done.
Karin Knudsen had started the Blessing School for the Deaf years earlier, after she'd learned sign language to help her daughter Grace, who was born deaf. Since then, the school had become so well known, they had to turn students away for lack of housing. The lack of housing in town was becoming more and more of a problem, for Blessing was growing from a farmer's village into a real town, thanks to the hospital, the flour mill, Ingeborg's cheese house, and various other businesses. All were supported by the farms in the Red River Valley, an expanse so flat that wagons never even needed brakes.
You sit down, Moore, and let me serve you for a change.
Astrid smiled at her mother. Moore rolled her eyes but joined Karin at the well-worn kitchen table. While the coffee was heating, Astrid dipped some hot water from the reservoir into a bowl and set the syrup pitcher in it to warm, slid the pan of cornbread into the oven, and, after arranging some cookies on a plate, brought that to the table.
Use the floured plates, if you will.
Oh.
We're having a party?
Astrid put the plain white plates back in the cupboard and fetched the hand-painted dishes from the glass-fronted china cabinet that her father had made for her mother last Christmas.
Of course, to celebrate another year of Karin's school, and anything else we can think of to celebrate.
Ingeborg patted Karin's hand on the table.
Whoever would have dreamed of all the changes that are going on? So many people blessed by coming to Blessing. We named our town well.
The two women shared a memory look of all those years ago when the folks had voted on a name for their town.